Hello, this is Brian McLean, and welcome to Our Story with God, episode 50. So what happens next? Now, if you are asked to define the word prophecy, a lot of times you will hear something to do with predicting the future. Now, predicting the future in seminary terms, we call the study of future events eschatology. But the actual word prophecy is not so much predicting the future as telling what God's word is, sharing God's message, taking this heavenly message to an earthly audience. Now, because of God's promises and the warnings that he has for us, a lot of times it does cover future events. Now, it's important to realize that when God gives us his message and he tells us the things that are to come, he is looking at it from outside of time. He can see past, present, and future equally clearly. And so it's important to understand what it is that he has told us are to come. What are the events? What are the things? What is coming for us as Christians down the road? Now, Peter knew Jesus as intimately as anybody really during his time on earth. And he actually said so, 2 Peter 1:16, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." And you can think, Peter did not just see all of the miracles and hear all of the teachings. He actually was there on the Mount of Transfiguration, for instance, where he saw Jesus really in his glory, wrapped up in the glory that he would have known in heaven rather than the earthly shell that he had during his ministry here. So what did Peter have to say? What did Peter tell us that is coming down the road? 1 Peter 1:21 through 2:1 says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction." So here Peter is telling us that the word of God is safe and secure. God will take care of his message, but he also warns us, just as we saw in the Old Testament where there were false prophets, there will be false teachers, that they will bring in another message. And this obviously is a problem. This is something that we as Christians should know about. And what does he say? 1 Peter 2:19 through 21. "They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. It would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than, after knowing it, to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them." So he is saying that some who know Christ, some who actually know what they're talking about, are going to be the very ones who attempt to corrupt his message and to twist his word. And so these are things that we must know about. So potentially, other than Peter, maybe the only ones who knew Jesus better than his apostles would have been those that he grew up with. Now, the Bible mentions in the book of Mark, you can reference Mark 6:3, Jesus had sisters, don't know how many, but he had sisters, and at least four brothers are mentioned by name. Two of those brothers, James and Jude, are thought by scholars to be the authors of the New Testament books that carry those names. And so what did these two have to say about it? James reminds us to count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's James 1, 2 through 4. So even adversity, maybe especially adversity, are to our benefit as believers. What does Jude say? Jude 1, 18 through 19. "They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit." So there will be those who cause adversity. And how are we supposed to handle that? Well, a couple verses later, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire." And that's Jude 1, 21 through 22. So Peter wants to remind us everything that's been said, both by the prophets and by Jesus, these are the words of God that carry the weight and authority of the Holy Spirit, both before Christ and also through Christ and then through the apostles and the believers afterwards. And he says, hey, listen, if the promises of God haven't been fulfilled, it's not because of God's inability. It's not because of timing. It's because of his mercy. And look here. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. 2 Peter 3:8-9. So God takes his time so that sinners have every possible chance to come to know him. The time that passes, however, in a sinful world gives opportunity for believers to suffer at the hands of those who have rejected God. We live in a sinful world. And Jesus mentions this. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. John 15:19. So Peter was present when those words were spoken. And he reminds us that nothing that we experience as Christians should really come as a surprise to us. Look at 1 Peter 4:12-14. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. So it's important how we respond to negative events. It's not a natural thing to do, but it is something that we are given the ability to do through God's Spirit when we suffer for him. So remember what Paul said, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. 1 Peter 5:10. These are very comforting and encouraging words for us as we live and spend our time in a very dark world. But God has given us the message. God has given us a warning. And he said, hey, do not be surprised when these things happen. So take a moment and study the word. In 2 Peter 3:10, what is promised to come? What does God say is coming? And because of that, in the verses following, 2 Peter 3:11-14, how should we then live? And take a moment to think about it. Why does it matter to those who haven't found God as they look and see how we who have followed Jesus Christ, how we live through these things? So take a moment, study that, and think through these things. Send your comments in. Again, we're week 50. We've only got a couple weeks to go. As we wrap up, I want to appreciate every one of you guys who has stuck around through every message. And if you haven't, take a moment, go back, and listen to it from the beginning. And I really, again, thank you so much for listening. And only 2 more weeks as we finish up studying Our Story with God. Thanks so much.